Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows, and we thank you for joining us here today. It is our desire to lift up Jesus Christ through the precious preaching of the gospel. This ministry comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. And now we'd like to introduce to you our evangelist, Brother Larry Dishman, who has a timely message from God's Word.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I would like to begin reading at verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he which believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The title of the message is, Be Ye Separate. The Lord's people are to be a separate people. Back in the Old Testament, in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verse 16, he said, So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Again, in Leviticus 20 and verse 24, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. One final scripture in the Old Testament is in Ezra, the 6th chapter, verse 21, breaking in that verse. And all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel did eat. The charge of these verses is a call for the church of the living God to be a separate people. One of the plainest doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of separation. It was one of the teachings that God pressed daily, repeatedly, eternally upon the Jews. As Christians, we are told in the Bible to live holy lives that reflect the nature of God. So this message is quite clear. Amen. It needs no translation. It needs no explanation. Be ye separate. Frankly, this passage of scripture that speaks for itself. However, there are some professing Christians who do not understand the importance of this scripture, nor do they feel that this scripture needs to be taken literally or seriously for that matter. Friend, it does not stand up for their modern day Christianity. Friend, they take the holy scriptures and they sand down the edges to soften the meaning. They reshape it, they water it down, and we're left with the scripture that's been melted and molded to mean what they want it to mean. Friend, they are only deceiving themselves. They are not deceiving our all-knowing God. There are so-called Christians who create their own definition of what a separate life means, and they bend it until it fits perfectly in line with their comfortable lifestyle. Friend, they can try to convince themselves that they're walking in the right direction, but as long as they're striving to be popular with the world and fit in with what the world calls normal, their hearts are not right with God. Friend, those who choose to dip their toes in the mire and play with the fire are walking on dangerous grounds. Yes, we do live in a world, but friend, we as the church are not a part of the world. Our hearts should desire the things of God and not the things of this world. Today, friend, we're going to learn that separation is not leaving the world. We don't physically remove ourselves from this world. We don't go out in the middle of nowhere and create our own arena. Friend, this would be physically separating ourselves from the world. Instead, the Bible is teaching us to spiritually separate ourselves from this old world. Jesus said, "But thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world." He says, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil that is in the world. So biblical separation takes you out of fellowship with the world and puts you in fellowship with God and the people of God. But I can't have fellowship with the world and have fellowship with God at the same time. So you have to leave the world behind and you make a whole new set of friends in the church. Friends, separation is not isolation from sinners. Separation is not just to isolate yourself from everybody, amen, but it's insulation to reach the world. It's like the fireman's suit as we rescue people from the fire. And so what are we to separate ourselves from? Let's find out what God wants us to separate ourselves from. Friend, we are to separate ourselves from actions and influences or people that will hinder our service to God. There's some people, if you hang around with them, if you get thick with them, they will hinder your relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells Christians to be separate from the world. That means when you get saved, amen, your life is changed. Your friends are changed. Your hangouts are changed. That doesn't mean you abandon your lost friends. You just change the topic of your conversation. You just change the location. Amen. You bring them to church with you if they will come. You try to win them to the Lord. So as a Christian, you are to bring them up to your level and never allow anyone to bring you down to their level. Amen. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to live in such a way that it makes the world thirsty. We're the light of the world. Amen. We're to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Psalms 119 and verse number 63 said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. That's who you need to choose for a companion, for a friend. As a Christian, I'm directed by God's word to apply biblical principles of separation, and we are to avoid a few things. We are to steer clear of anything that goes against Bible standard. Friend, if it was sin 2,000 years ago, guess what? It's still sin today. The Bible does not change to fit the changing culture. And secondly, avoid any situation that will hinder your spiritual life. Be careful who you hang around with. If you hang around with people that's sick, you're going to get sick. If you hang around people that's depressed, you're going to end up depressed, right? If you hang around discouraged people, you may get discouraged. If you stay around the wrong group of people, it'll affect you. Before you know it, you're talking like them. You're doing the things that they do. There's a reason why the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. Amen. Avoid any situation that you're unsure of. If you're unsure of it, don't do it till you talk to the pastor or his wife or the young people's leader. There are some sins that are plainly spelled out in the Bible. And then there are some sins that your own personal convictions. And if you have doubt about whether or not something is wrong or whether it's right, if you think it's wrong, if you do it, it becomes sin to you, because the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse number 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means if you do it and it causes doubt, it becomes sin to you. Amen. In other words, if you're not sure, amen, that the thing is right and you think it might be wrong, just don't do it. Give God the benefit of the situation. Just do the right thing. In James 4:17, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Friend, this is all through the Bible. It starts in the Old Testament, goes all the way up through the New Testament, and scriptures about separation, such as Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When we sin, we break fellowship with God. Will you choose fellowship with God or fellowship with the world? Do you understand that a Christian, you're to live differently from those that's in the world? Sounds simple, doesn't it? But friend, there's a lot of people who think they can get saved and still hang out with the same crowd, still play around with Satan's toys, but you can't do it and be spiritual and be what you ought to be. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. Friend, all of us are saved. We have been risen with Christ. And so he said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now listen, set your affections on things above. Amen. Oh God, help us. Set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. That's what gets us in trouble, when we begin to set our affections on the things of this world. The Bible says in Luke 16 and 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible says we cannot serve God and the devil at the same time. It's an impossibility. We got to get away from the world, separate ourselves so we can serve God. If Jesus, you're a master, or are you a slave to this world, and is the world your master? Friend, the Bible says you can't have it both ways. Get off the fence and choose today which master you will serve. Remember the words of Joshua in the 24th chapter, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now he tells us in our text in Ephesians 5 and verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Once again, he's talking about separation. And he tells us in our text, what communion is there between the believer and the unbeliever? They both have different goals and outlooks. They have different destinies, amen. One lives for the world and the other is looking forward to the next world, amen. One will be with Jesus throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, and the other one will be in the lake of fire throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. I believe that 1 John 1 and 2 is talking about separation, when he tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are not of the Father, but of the world. Now, when you follow God, you must put away worldliness and be willing to walk the road less traveled. We might as well make up our minds, friend, and settle the fact the highway of holiness is a highway that's less traveled than the broad way that leads to destruction. Only few people are traveling the highway of holiness. Amen. The broad way leads to destruction. You do not want to go the way that the world's going. The world is going the way that leads to hell. And you can't go to heaven walking towards hell. As Christians, we are to be good examples, witnesses of God's light. We're to walk separately from the rest of the world on a path of faith and goodness. Amen. The Bible says in John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. He goes on in John 17 and verse 14 and 15. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you love God with your whole heart? Do you love him more than the things of this old world? Friend, James tells us in the 4th chapter and verse number 4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's clear, isn't it? Now, you might say, well, I dress the way I dress. I talk this way. I act this way because I want to be considered normal. Well, do you know what the world today is calling normal? Two guys walking down the street holding hands. That's becoming normal, but it's not normal according to the Word of God. It's still sin today. God hadn't changed his mind about it one bit. It's not natural for a man to be with a man. It's not natural for a woman to be with a woman. That's unnatural according to the Word of God. But it's becoming common today, and I don't think we ought to let it cause us our love for the truth diminish in any way. I love everybody. I'll treat everybody right. But I'll also tell people it's sin, it's wrong, and you can't go to God's heaven living that way. Amen. I tell you what's normal today, men stepping out on their wives and the wives running off with the bosses and kids having kids and Sunday morning church is all that's needful. Friend, we need some people today who will become separate, amen, so the world can see there's a difference in the church and the world. There's always been a difference in God's church and the world. There always will be a difference in the two. So if we dress like the world and if we do everything the world is doing, then why would they want what we've got? Amen. So I don't want to be like the world. I don't want to talk like them. I don't want to act like them. I don't want to go where they go, and I don't want to do what they do. The religious world don't look any different nowadays, amen, than those who are out here not professing Christianity whatsoever. That's why Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't let this world determine how you live. Friend, this passage will speak to us about what we should not be doing as we live in this world. But I tell you, friend, it is easy. Young people, let me tell you something. It's easy to fall in the rut, amen, the same old rut that the world's in. It's easy to go with the flow and do what the unconverted world is doing. It's easy to adopt the attitude of the world, and many professing Christians have. They've adapted the ways of the world, friend. We adopt their fashions, we adopt their speech, we adopt their standards, we adopt their entertainment, and nearly everything else that they're doing. And while the Lord tells us that we're to be different in every way from those that's in the world, friend, if you want to be like someone, let's be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as we are to imitate the Lord in every possible way, friend, we're to avoid imitating the actions and the attitudes and the ways of this old world. Friend, you can't continue to walk with the world and call yourself a Christian. Be careful of the company you keep. Friend, if professing Christians are walking with the world, people need to get out of those places, those churches, those congregations, that's walking with the world. Sin that used to sink down in the dark alleys now struts down Main Street, and they're proud to be the way that they are. And as the world worsens, God's people are to keep themselves distinct, separate from the world. Its spirit, its influences, determined in your heart not to look like the world, determined in your heart not to live like the world. Amen. Let's look at some more scriptures. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world. You know what that means? Don't let the world press you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another scripture is found in 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That just don't mean the words coming out of your mouth. That means your lifestyle. Be holy in all manner of your lifestyle. God, help us not to allow the pressures of the world, the pressures of the people on the job, the pressures of the people at school, the pressures of the people at the college, the pressures of your unsaved family that's in false religion. Don't allow them to press you into their mold and be like them. Amen. Because we've told in the Word of God, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. Praise God. You'll be my daughters. You'll be my sons if you'll come out and be that separate people that God wants us to be. We should be like a thermostat that regulates the temperature around us rather than a thermometer that just records the temperature. We're to set a standard for the world. The world is never to set a standard for the church. And I thought about that scripture in the book of Proverbs, the 7th chapter, where the Bible says, and behold, there met me a woman with the attire of a harlot. There's a vast difference in the attire of a Christian and the attire of a harlot. If it's causing you to look immodest, it's not right. God's people don't want to dress this way. How are we to dress? 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which cometh women professing godliness with good works. Fads and fashions change, but God in his word never changes. Church, we cannot allow an irreligious world to dictate our doctrines and our standards and our practices. We must stay true to the word of God, regardless of any reasoning to do otherwise. It can be uncomfortable to stand out in the crowd and be noticed for our convictions, to be different from our associates. For this reason, many people have chosen an easier route to a greater or lesser degree, conforming to the world's styles and the world's practices. And for this reason, people are experiencing so little of the power of God because they're not wholly on the Lord's side. True religion will not make us popular with the world. However, the honest in heart will be attracted to the beauty of holiness. Psalm 149, verse number 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Salvation makes you beautiful. Amen. If the people of the world see no difference between us, then how are they going to desire what we have? This message of separation from the world has a great part been lost sight of by many professing Christians. It's essential that we do not neglect the message of separation. It's a sad day when you can't tell the difference in professing Christians and the Roman Catholic Church. In his great mercy, God has built a wall of separation between his pure people and this sinful world. God's separation between holiness and unholiness is a message we must never get away from. It is our responsibility to be certain that all the blinders are removed from our eyes, that we may know without a doubt whose side that we're on. But God has made this separation, and he will have it exist. In both the Old and New Testament, the Lord has positively enjoined upon his people to be distinct from the world in spirit, in pursuit, in dress, in practice, to be a holy nation, a peculiar people that may show forth the praise of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This distinction, I believe, will be more marked, more decided as we near the end of time. It is so marked that it is unmistakable. Church, this is not a time to relax our principles. It's not a time to let the world shape our recreational taste and heap up treasures upon this earth. This is a time to come out from among them and be ye separate. Which side will you be on when Jesus comes? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.